Deuteronomy chapter 26. The entire book of Deuteronomy is set just prior to the Israelites going into the land of Canaan. And it was set there to prepare them for that time when they would be in the land of Canaan. Help me out here a minute. The land of Canaan was a land that... flowed with milk and honey. And we come down to these final chapters, which were some very specifics about what was to take place when they got into the land. And because now that this was a big transition for them. Even during the Exodus, they were still sheep herders and goat herders all the time that they were out there in the desert. And now they were coming into a place where they were going to take over and become tillers of the land. And this land that was promised to them was to provide plentifully for them. I find it sort of unusual, in a sense, that as we enter into this first chapter about it here in chapter 26, that there was to be giving done from that land. As that land produced for them, there was this giving that was supposed to take place. Last week we looked at the ceremony that was to take place of the first fruits and how they were supposed to be looking for that very first fruit from each of those seven main crops that they would have. And they were to take that and to hold on to it until a particular time. And then they were to bring it and they were to present those first fruits as a symbol that God had provided what He had promised them in that land. And then the second ceremony that He speaks about here that was supposed to take place for, you know, as a long period of time, as long as they were in the land, both of these ceremonies were supposed to take place. The second thing that He mentions in this chapter is the tithe. And again, as the first fruits came from the land, the tithe was supposed to come from the land, from the increase that was given to them. The first fruits, of course, was the promise that there was going to be an increase that year. And so they went and joyfully offered the first fruits and provided in joy with that. And then after they came back home and went through the harvest season, at the end of the harvest season, then they were to bring their tithe to the central place. They were all together. They were to bring the tithe, come and offer it, present it at the central sanctuary. And as we look here, we'll read the passage here and then comment about it. It begins here in verse 12 of chapter 26. And it goes like this: "When thou hast made an end of tithing all the tithes of thine increase, the third year, which is the year of tithing, and hast given it unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled. And then thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of mine house, and also have given them unto the Levite and unto the stranger, to the fatherless and to the widow, according to all thine commandments which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use, nor given aught thereof for the dead. But I have hearkened unto the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven, and bless thy people Israel, and the land which thou hast given us, as thou swore unto our fathers, a land that flows with milk and honey. Now, as I studied this particular book and the law, tithing has been one of the things that I look at regularly. I believe in it. And yet I'm always concerned that I don't quite understand exactly what it was supposed to be like according to the Scriptures. And the point that I know of is that there were three tithes. All right. And so immediately as you think about that, you say, well, OK, a tithe is a tenth. So that if there's three of them, three times 10 is 30. OK, but in this case, he was talking the other day about what's one and one add to. Well, sometimes. OK, here's where a case where three times 10 equals 20. Okay. It's not so much that there were three tenths that were given. There were three times of tithing. And as hard as it is to get some people to dig out 10%, you know, when you start to talk about 20 and 30%, it just sort of the pocket just gets sewn up there. Okay. Now, as I looked at the thing here this time, I'm pretty sure it's 20% total. Okay, and it's three particular times of tithing. And so, as we look at that, now the first place I need you to look is back in Numbers 18. At verse 21. And the first tithe was applied to the maintenance of the landless Levites. Okay? This was a promise that was given to the children of Levi by the Lord. And when you get there, we'll take a look at this. Numbers 18, starting at verse 21 and going to verse 32. And it says, "And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levite shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore, I have said unto them, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, When ye take of the children of Israel the tithes, which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then ye shall offer up an heave offering of it, for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe. And this, your heave offering, shall be reckoned unto you as though it were the corn of the threshing floor and as the fullness of the winepress. Thus ye also shall offer an heave offering unto the Lord of all your tithes, which ye receive of the children of Israel, and ye shall give thereof the Lord's heave offering to Aaron the priest. Out of all your gifts ye shall offer every heave offering of the Lord, of all the best thereof, even the hallowed part thereof out of it. Therefore thou shalt say unto them, when ye have heaved the best part thereof from it, then it shall be counted unto the Levites as the increase of the threshing floor and as the increase of the winepress. And ye shall eat it in every place, ye and your households, for it is your reward for your service in the tabernacle of the congregation. And ye shall bear no sin by reason of it, when ye have heaved from it the best of it, neither shall ye pollute the holy things of the children of Israel, lest ye die. Because the tribe of Levi was taken and separated to do the service of the Lord, they were to be provided for by the tithes that were brought by all the rest of the people of Israel. This particular tithe was to be brought to the central sanctuary year by year. And it was to be presented at that time and to the Levites. And whenever the Levites received any of it, they in turn were to take one-tenth of it, and they were to give it also, and that particular portion then was to go to the high priest. And that was his part for the service that he performed. Now, so nobody was exempted from the tithe, except for the high priest. And the reason he was is because he stood in the very, well, in a sense, he was the sole representative of Jehovah before them. And so he wasn't expected to present his tenth, whereas everybody else was. Now, the second tithe that's mentioned, and that one is found in Deuteronomy chapter 14. We've spoken about that when we went through that section. We'll go back there, Deuteronomy 14:22. This second tithe, as we'll see here, was to be taken by the owner to the tabernacle, all right, along with his first tithe. And the second tithe was taken, first of all, to the tabernacle, and then later to Jerusalem when the temple was built. And at that point, there was this big party. He used it for a big party. Okay? And he, his family, and all the people that were associated with his family, and any Levites and strangers and others, he was to supply, that tithe would supply for this particular celebration whenever they had brought the other tithe. So we'll take a look at that in Deuteronomy 14. And it reads this way: thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field brings forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thy oil, and of thy firstlings, of thy herds, and of thy flocks, that thou may learn to fear the Lord thy God always. And if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, for if the place be too far from thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there, when the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, then shalt thou turn it into money, and bind up the money in thine hand, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. And thou shalt bestow that money for whatever thy soul lust after, for oxen, for sheep, or for wine, or for strong drink, or for the whatsoever thy soul desires. And thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice, thou and thine household, and the Levite that is within thy gate. Thou shalt not forsake him, for he hath no part nor inheritance with thee. And so, during this second tithe, that second tithe was again used during this celebration of tithing. Now, depending on the size of the increase, of course, not all of that second tithe was going to get used for this particular celebration. The rest of that money, or that tithe, remained with the householder. And its purpose then was to be used for exactly the same thing, for the support of those that would come near to his house and would need the assistance that that tithe was intended to be for. He could pass it out. He would give the poor person that came to his house enough out of that for a meal, for a major meal. And as they kept coming, of course, that money would be used for those particular things. The third tithe that we're talking about here is actually part of that second tithe. It was in the third year of the tithing. Remember, Israel is in a 7-year cycle. Okay, it goes 6 years, then a Sabbath. During the Sabbath, the fields were left fallow. There's no increase of the land. And so that particular year, there's no tithing because there's no increase to tithe off of. But in each of the third years, the second tithe, instead of taking it down to the central, part of it, of course, would still be used because they were still going to take the main tithe down to the central sanctuary. But in the third year, this second tithe was to be set aside solely for the use of the people that are mentioned here. The strangers, the Levite in your gate, the widow, the orphan. That's what the tithe was totally to be set aside for in the landowner's particular area where he lived. And as it continued there in Deuteronomy 14, this particular third year was known as the year of removal. And it said there in verse 28, it says, "At the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all of the tithe of thine increase the same year, and shall lay it up within thy gates. And the Levite, that because he hath no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, which are within thy gates, shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou doest." In this third year, the year of removal, any tithe that was left over from the previous 2 years, plus all of the second tithe for the third year, was to be taken out of this man's house. Not a grain of corn was to be left in that house that belonged to that tithe. It was to be brought out. It was stored in a local storehouse in the particular town in which he lived. And it was then distributed as needed to the people that were listed here. Those that were too poor, that needed that particular assistance. Notice what it said in Deuteronomy 26, where we were reading of it. And at this particular time, there was somewhat of a ceremony. And he was, in verse 13, he was to say these words when he brought that tithe out. Then thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of mine house, and also have given them unto the Levite, unto the stranger, unto the fatherless, and unto the widow, according to all thy commandments which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed thy commandment, neither have I forgotten them. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use. Didn't use it for anything other than what it was totally intended for, while he had it in his control. Nor given aught thereof for the dead. We've spoken about how the Canaanites had these death fetishes, so to speak. And he has not used it for any purpose like that. But I have hearkened to the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. Now, as I have stated many times before, I believe that tithing is still the way that God wants us to supply the need for the things that He has commanded. The first five books of the law are full of tithing. It starts back in Genesis and goes all the way through to the end of Deuteronomy. There's tithing, tithing, and tithing. Now the question is, if this is still the way that God wants us to care for the needs in the church, how are we to work this out practically? And I make the suggestion, this is my suggestion, this is not my ex cathedra pronunciation. All right? The first 10%, the first tithe, is to be brought to the central sanctuary, okay, and it's to be used for the provision for the servant service that takes place here, okay. Most people don't question me on that. Or most people that believe in tithing, they go that far. All right? But as we've seen here, the tithe is not just 10%. It's how much? 20%. Now, what about that second 10%? All right? Now, I know we ought to have some big parties around here. Okay. And actually, I don't really believe that. But when I mean a big party, I mean a big convocation of many, many churches where we get together. All right. Now that's very difficult in this time. I don't know why. But it just is. People are just got themselves thinking that they don't have time to get together with other churches of like belief. Okay. But that's one of the things that happened during the tithing ceremony. people got together because they were all gathered there at the central sanctuary to present their gifts. However, that second 20% will forgo the big parties. All right. But the second 10% remains with you. Okay? And it remains with you, and it needs to be separated in your accounts. It needs to be held separate. And it should be used for what? We read it 3 or 4 times. Helping the poor, the widows, the Levites. Okay? And strangers that come by that need your assistance. What's that? The fatherless. All right. So if there's that need that comes to you personally, you already have money that God has said, set this aside that you can use. All right? And you don't have to think about it the second time. I'll say it the right way. It's already there. God has provided it. All right? And He's put it under your jurisdiction to take care of. However, just like we've just read in this section, there needs to be a period of time where that money will collect. And yet, God has not called upon you individually to use it. And it needs to get out of your house. Like they did. Every third year, it had to come out of their house and go to a central place. All right? Where would be a good central place to bring it? To the church. But at the church, it needs to be put into a separate account for the use that was intended for. Okay? Because there's more likelihood that the poor might show up at the church door than they would necessarily at yours. Okay? And also the church could be actively seeking to be able to use that. So I think there needs to be a period of time, and of course God said every third year, that they would empty their house of this tithe and set it aside so that it could be used in a group fashion rather than an individual. And then they get to start over again. All right? So that you never have this big, you know, God doesn't place all of His chickens in your basket. And just leave them, all his eggs in there, I guess. One of the chickens. The chickens come out of the eggs and more eggs that laid, and you don't want this big pile of stinking eggs there. Okay. It needs to get out of your house. Of course, I mean, physically talking, in these days, you were talking literally about foodstuffs. Alright. You needed to recycle those foodstuffs. Get them out and get them moving so that they just didn't sit in your house and rot. Same thing with your money. Okay? With the money that is in your hand that belongs to God. It needs to get out and get used. And so, like again, I said, this is not ex cathedra. Okay? That's what I think about. Personally, the first category in my budget is tithes and offerings. Okay? And there's two pieces to that. The tithe, and then, well, it's not offerings, I title it other. Okay? And so there's two sections there. The tithe, as soon as I get it, as soon as I hit the increase, the next Sunday, it comes here. Just like Paul says, on the first day of the week, you can bring it. Okay? And so, but the second part stays with me and gets used when I see the need individually. All right? So, I throw that out for you to consider so that you can be prepared to do service as God has commanded us. And it says there, and finally in chapter 26, "And this day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. And the Lord has avouched thee this day to be his particular people, as he hath promised thee, and that thou should keep all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations, which he hath made in praise, and in name, and in honor, then that thou may be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken." This is a reaffirmation of the original covenant made with the people at Mount Sinai. The original signatories to the covenant were all dead because of unbelief. And now this new generation takes up the cause. The Lord, in return, reaffirms his promise to make them his holy and peculiar people. We, the believers of this age, are likewise in a covenant with our Father God through the blood of his blessed Son, Jesus Christ. He has given us all things in Christ. 1 John 5:20, "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." And in 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4, "According to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." We are his holy people. Again in 1 Peter 2, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Some may argue that Peter here is writing to Jews, and he is, but he is also writing to Jews who are part of the church. In the church, there is neither Jew or Greek, but we have been made partakers into one body. Therefore, this must likewise apply to us as Gentile believers. The phrase chosen by Peter in verse 9 to describe the church is the same as used in Exodus 19:6 to describe the people of Israel, his holy and peculiar people. So as we go and live by his laws and commandments, we need to understand that we are that group of people and to live like we are.